Now, the Gospel of John, the Gospel we have been studying for months and months and months, the Gospel of John opens with these words, "In the beginning." Now, that means that at the beginning moment when time and history started. Now, God is an eternal being, so there is stuff that happened before the beginning, and God was there. But there came a moment when the beginning arrived, and what we call history, time, started. The phrase, "in the beginning," refers to that moment when time and history began. It says, "In the beginning was the Word." Magic. But notice the way "word" is spelled. Notice that the word "word" has a capital W. Now, it becomes confusing for us because sometimes in the scripture, the word "word" is used with a lowercase W. And when the word "word" is used, it's hard to say the word "word." When the word "word" is used with a lowercase W, it refers to the Bible. Okay, or to words, to speaking. Whenever the word "word" is written in the scripture with a capital W, it is a reference to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word, capital W, of God. So in order to distinguish between a spoken word or the written word and the word Jesus, we capitalize the W whenever the word "word" refers to Jesus. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now what that means is that at the beginning, at the moment when time and history began, Jesus, the Word, and the Father were together in the same space. Okay, so they were there together. Okay? Much in the same way that you could say we are here in this room together this morning. We are literally occupying the same space together. So in the beginning, the Word Jesus was in the same space as the Father. But then it says that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Now, this takes that whole idea of being together a little step further, because it's now telling us that they not only occupied the same space in the same way that we are occupying this room together, but there in that space, they were united physically and spiritually. They were inseparable. They were one. Now, that's how the Gospel of John opens. Those are the beginning words of the Gospel. And since the opening of the Gospel, the Holy Spirit has been showing us this great truth over and over again through every part of the Gospel that we have studied. It wants us to know, the Bible wants us to know, God wants us to know, the Holy Spirit is showing us that God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son are one. They are one. And now, as we approach the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, the end of the earthly ministry of the Son, out of his own mouth, out of the mouth of the Word, come the words which proclaim, "If you know me, you will know my Father as well." Jesus said that. Now, just a couple of things. The scripture teaches, number one, the scripture teaches that the Father is spirit, and that those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You can find that written in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24. God the Father does not dwell in a form like this one. He does not live in a shape like ours. He is not material. He is not flesh and blood. He is Spirit. And as such, God the Father cannot be seen by the likes of you and me, for the glory of God, according to the Scripture, is too much for us to behold in its fullness. Literally, if we were to see the full glory of God as it is, it would consume us, the Scripture says. I interpret that to mean it would burn us up. No one has ever seen the full glory of God except the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, number two, throughout history, and primarily we're now talking about the history that is recorded in the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, God revealed himself in physical form from time to time. Primarily, the Old Testament records episodes when God the Father chose to show himself in some physical reality to a person or to people for some particular reason to him, He decided, he did it. Now, he often chooses a form other than a human form. So he shows himself as light, or he shows himself as smoke, or he reveals himself as fire or cloud. He chooses some other form. He does sometimes take a form which appears to be human. So sometimes he is described as a messenger. He comes in a shape that is seen and known. But never, never do we see the full glory of God even at those moments. Those revelations of God are always limited because the full glory of God would consume us. Number three, God the Father is only fully revealed in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. No one can look on the fullness of God except Jesus. No one can come to the Father except he comes through the Son, Jesus. If you want to know God, the only way that you can find him is through Jesus. There is no other path to the Father except through the Son. Now, are you hearing me? You want me to repeat the paragraph? You cannot look on God's full glory except in the person of Jesus Christ. Unless you look at God through Jesus Christ, you cannot come to God. Unless you come to God through the Son, you cannot find God. Jesus lays it all out in the passage of Scripture set before us this morning. He says, Jesus clearly says, to know him is to know the Father. He says that if you have seen him, you have seen the Father. Are you getting this? Are you sure you're getting this? See, the reason I'm asking you that is because when Jesus first said it to the disciples, they didn't get it. Are you sure? Okay, see, they were not listening to the words that were being spoken to them by the Word. They were still upset by the news that Jesus was gone away from them. And as a result of what he had said to them, they were blinded by emotion. They were not listening to the words of Jesus. Now, let me just be really honest with you here. Okay? I know where they were because I myself have been there. And if you were honest, you would have to admit that there are times when you get there too. Because the world throws stuff in our faces. It throws junk at us, okay? It manages to get us all off balance by throwing stuff at us which is hard for us to deal with and which just gets in our way. And we react to the stuff the world throws at us emotionally. And Satan uses our reaction to that stuff to shift our focus away from the Word and the words of the Word and to get us all emotional about the junk. Now, you know I'm telling you the truth, okay? The fact of the matter is that some of you right now are not listening to the words I'm speaking because you're all wrapped up emotionally in your junk, okay? It's just the truth of life. And that's where the disciples were that night around that table as they listened to Jesus. He had said he was gone away. They were so emotionally overwrought by what he had said to them that they could not hear the word that was coming to them from the word. Now, are you hearing me? Are you? Or are you too wrapped up in your junk? Okay, are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Jesus said that there is no way that you can get saved except you come to God through him. The only way that you can deal with your junk is to get your attention off of your junk and on to Jesus, and through Jesus on to God. But what happens to us is that we get so wrapped up in the stuff and our emotional reaction to the stuff that we begin to pay more attention to the stuff than we do to the word of the word. We begin to think that what's real in our life is the junk that's being thrown at us rather than what the scripture teaches us to trust and believe. You with me? You hearing me? Jesus said, the only way to the Father is through me. So if you want to see God, you got to look at Jesus. And you can't look at Jesus through your junk. Okay? You got to back off of it and look at Jesus. There's no other way to see the glory of the Father except through Jesus. Now, Jesus said to them that he wasn't telling them this on his own authority alone. He was only telling them the message which came through him from the Father. He said to them that everything he had done, meaning the great miracles which he had done while he was here on earth, everything he had done pointed to the truth he was telling them. You cannot know God apart from knowing the Son. You hearing me? Now, I know what they're saying out there. Okay? All those really smart worldly people are telling us that every road, every religion, every way you go leads to God. All you have to do is be good. Try it. You're all failing. Okay? But you can try it. The world's telling us all this nonsense. They're telling us that those of us who say that the only way to the Father is through Jesus Christ are narrow-minded and bigoted, and that we need to get off of that and move on because every way leads to the Father. Now play with me for a while. Just play with me. Suppose that I am narrow-minded and bigoted, which I admit in this matter I am. Okay? I believe that the only way you can get to God is if you come to him through Jesus Christ. There is salvation from your sin. There is eternal life. No other way. The only way you can get there is through Jesus Christ. Okay? Okay? All right? Now, suppose I tell you that and you believe me. So today, right now, you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Okay? And then when you die, you go to heaven, you stand before the gates of heaven, they swing open, and you discover that the world is right and every way leads to heaven. What have you lost by trusting Jesus Christ today? Absolutely nothing, they're right. Because if all words lead to heaven by accepting Jesus and trusting Jesus, you've lost nothing, you get to heaven. But now play it the other way. Okay, suppose you don't believe what I'm telling you. And you grab on to the stuff the world is saying, every road leads to heaven. And then you die. And you stand before the gates of heaven and you discover, oh horrors, Chuck was right. The only way to the Father is through the Son. But you never accepted the Son. What then have you lost by your refusal? Everything. You're right. It's all gone. You rejected the only option. You lost it all. And you tell me, just talking logically now, what makes sense? To take a chance on what might be and lose everything, or to accept what I'm telling you and to embrace the Son and to come to God through Jesus Christ and have it all? What makes sense to you? So what I'm telling you today is to stop fighting the Scripture. Stop fighting what the New Testament proclaims. Accept Jesus Christ as the only way to the Father. And if you do, you're in. Either way, what makes sense to you? And I'm proclaiming to you the truth. The only way to the Father is through the Son. Now, Jesus tells them all that. And then at the end of this passage of Scripture, the passage that was read to you today, he makes what's called by theologians the great promise. The great promise. Jesus says to those who know him, that is, those who are trusting him, taking the Father, the great promise, part one, whoever believes in me will do greater things than I have done. Now, I like that, okay? I'd like to do some of the things that Jesus did, okay? So far, he has not allowed me to heal one sick person by laying my hands on them, okay? And I can't tell you how many times when I'm preaching funerals and the congregation is unresponsive, I wish I could raise the dead, because then they'd pay attention for sure. If that guy sat up in his casket, they'd listen to the preacher. But so far, he has never allowed me to raise the dead as he did. So what does he mean then when he says that I'm going to do greater things than he did if I believed in him? He's not talking about the quality of the thing. He's talking about the quantity of it. So today, the Church of Jesus Christ is spread over the whole world. There are preachers in every place preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Jesus did that to a limited number of people in a little tiny region called Galilee in the nation of Israel, which is no bigger than the state of New Jersey. Okay. So when you look at the collective quality and quantity of what the church is doing right now this morning, it is in essence greater than what Jesus did. But let me give you another example that's closer to home. As I am speaking to you this morning, my words are being carried to the whole wide world through internet streaming. Jesus didn't have internet streaming. He didn't even have a microphone. Okay? Got it? So while my works may not be greater in quality, they are greater in quantity, because right now I'm speaking to who knows how many people. I actually know that people are listening to me in Denver, that people are listening to me in Boston. I don't know where else this service is being heard this morning, but it is a greater thing. You see? So if we believe in him, we actually are doing greater things than he did. In the book of James, chapter 2, verses 14 to 26, it says that faith without works is dead. And I got to tell you that what that means is that our faith is supposed to be illustrated in something more than what we say. It's supposed to be illustrated in our obedience to the Word of God. So what we seek to do as followers, as disciples of Jesus, is live his instructions. We try to follow what the Word tells us to do in the Word. Got it? We try to live obedient lives because our works declare who we are. They will know because we are obedient. But here's the hard part. He says that the greatest work we do is to love each other. Now, you guys are lucky, okay, because I am in every way lovable. But some of you are really hard to love, okay? And believe it or not, okay, there are even Christians in this world who stink. How do you love a stinky person? Okay, now look, He doesn't say that we get exceptions, that we show who we love by choosing who we love. He says that the world will know we belong to Him because we love each other. Okay? Now, I'm not sure we do such a great job at that in the Church of Jesus Christ. Okay? But what I am sure of is that they're going to know that we belong to Him because what we show each other is love. And believe me, loving you is a great thing. Okay, got it? All right, so we're going to do greater things than He will do. And the great promise part two, if you ask anything in My name, I will do it. Now, for many years, I was part of Rotary. Okay, here in Coatesville. And every Thursday, for those of you who don't know, Rotary has this wonderful luncheon, usually hot dogs and beans, for which you pay a fortune. And men who are, and women now, who are part of that group gather together, and always the luncheon is begun with a blessing. Okay, now, you would think that would be generally accepted. Okay, but there's always this big fight. Because some of the people who say the blessing are Christians, and some of the people who say the blessing are not Christians, and some of the group are Christians, and some of the group are not Christians. And when the Christians pray, they always end their prayer by saying, "In Jesus' name," which creates a great deal of controversy for the members of Rotary who are not in Jesus. Okay, now, they always bring that controversy to the resident pastor. Do they have to say, "In Jesus' name"? Okay? And some of the people who pray in Jesus' name become extremely indignant when you ask them not to say, "In Jesus' name" at the end of the prayer. Now, what I want you to really know is that those words are not a magical formula when attached to a prayer to make it instantly answerable by God. So if you pray in Jesus' name at the end of your prayer, okay, it doesn't necessarily go any further than it would go if you left out the phrase. Okay, I'm serious. Okay, because it's not a formula, it is an attitude. And I'm going to tell you this, if you want to fight over the formula of your prayer, you do not have the humble heart of Jesus in you. You hear me? I'm serious. A fight over a prayer is not a Christian thing. It's not. Okay, now, here's the deal. When we pray in the name of Jesus, it is an attitude. We are basically saying, "I am praying this prayer," okay, "because I come to the Father through Jesus." Jesus says, "If you love me, you will obey me." So when I pray in the name of Jesus, I am in essence saying, whatever I have asked for in this prayer, I want the Holy Spirit to take the prayer and twist it and bend it so that it becomes the will of God. Okay, now I'm going to give you an example of this. I want you to know I never do this. Okay, never. Never. I wish I never did this. Okay, see, it tells us in the book of Romans that we are supposed to pray for those who despitefully use us. We are supposed to ask God to bless them. Okay, it says that. Okay, now I want you to be with me for a minute. Play with me. Get the picture of that person who despiteful right there in your in the front of your brain. See them. Okay. You know the one who you really every time you see them, they just drive you crazy. Okay? They do things that make you go insane. Okay? You know who they are? You got the picture, right? And God says you're supposed to be praying His blessing upon that person. Okay, now, if you pray it this way, "God, I love you, okay, and I want to be obedient to your word. So please, Father, bless them in Jesus' name." bless them. You just missed the whole thing. Okay? That prayer, even though you said it was in Jesus' name, was not in Jesus' name. Because for that prayer to be in Jesus' name, you have to struggle with you to bring yourself in compliance with the teachings of Jesus Christ. So when it says that you're going to pray in Jesus' name, what it means is that you are going to pray having yielded yourself to obedience to the Word of God as recorded in the Scripture, and to the will of God, because He understands things better than you are. So when you pray in Jesus' name, you are basically coming to God through the Son. And He says, when you do that, what you ask for will not be denied. Now, I'm going to tell you, remember that junk I was talking about before? Gets in your way. Okay? Blinds you. So that you cannot pray in the name of Jesus. And when it does that, it keeps you from getting what it is that God has for you. So you have to struggle again. Get your eyes off of the junk. And to get them back onto Jesus. Because He is the full glory of God. And when you do that, and you pray in the name of Jesus, it will not be denied. Now I'm going to conclude. I'm done preaching. I'm going to conclude the service. And I'm going to conclude today's service by doing something that's old-fashioned and antiquated. We're going to have a good old-fashioned Baptist altar call. Okay? Musicians are going to come. Okay, get ready here. And here's what's going to happen. I'm opening the altar. Here in the front of the church is the altar. I'm opening it to you in God's name, and I'm opening it to you for several reasons. Number one, there are some of you present in this room today who have not settled things with Jesus Christ. You think that you can get to heaven some way other than the way described by the Scripture. And the Bible tells you that the only way you can get there is if you come there through the blood of Jesus. If you come there through Jesus. Now you can fight this any way you like. You can take a chance with your eternal destiny if you like, but I've already shown you that makes no sense. I mean, you can do what you want with this. But the Bible makes it clear that the only way to God the Father is through Jesus Christ the Son. And you have to resolve to bend your will and to trust the Word of Scripture and to come to God through the Son. So some of you today need to settle that with God. You need to say, I'm not going to fight it anymore. I'm not going to listen to the voice of other wise people out there in the world. What I'm going to do right now this morning is I'm going to come to God through you, Jesus Christ. I'm going to trust you to take care of my eternal destiny. I'm going to come to you. Now, the way you do that is when we sing, you get up out of your seats, you come forward, and you talk to God. You tell Him what I just told you. Okay? I'm not doing it that way anymore. I am trusting Jesus to bring me to you. That's all you got to say, and He'll take care of it. Okay, got it? A minute, we're going to do that. I'm not going to ask anybody any questions. It's between you and God. You settle it with Him, and it's okay with me. Got it? No questions. Second reason I'm opening the altar today is because some of you are messed up in your junk. I mean, the world has tossed stuff at you. And that stuff has created in you an emotional reaction. And that emotional reaction has become so real that it is blocking you from believing what the Scripture says that you need to believe. Okay? So in other words, what you're trusting is your emotions to be real rather than the Word of God. And you can spell this word, word, with a capital W or a little w. Doesn't matter. And what you need to do is get your eyes off of the junk and the emotional reaction that's going on in you because of the junk, and give the junk to God and say, you know what? I want the Holy Spirit to come on my life and to fill me with faith so that I can trust what God tells me is reliable and trustworthy. Not my junk, His Word. And the way you do that, when we open the altar, is you get up out of your seat, you come forward, and you simply say, God, I'm sorry, I gotten all wrapped up in my emotional junk, I'm giving it back to you, help me focus my attention on your glory through Jesus Christ that I might believe. Okay? And then, some of you, have been praying for a long time. You've been asking for it over and over again. And you've been saying, in Jesus' name. But what you have been unwilling to do is live your life in Jesus' name. In other words, you've been planning your own way. You've been doing it your own way. You've been thinking you can get through this. All you got to do is figure it out for yourself. You don't need to bring your life into compliance with the Word, spelled with a small w, of God. And what you need to do is stop living life your way and resolve that you're going to live your life in Jesus' name. That whatever it takes, you're going to bring your life into compliance with the Word of God, so that you may ask what you ask in Jesus' name. All it takes is for you to get up out of the seat when we start to sing. Come forward. Say to God, you know what? I don't want to fight this anymore. Show me what I need to do to get my life right. Bring me into compliance with your will. Teach me to obey, so that I may live my life and say my prayers in Jesus' name. Now, I'm not asking you anything. Nobody's going to ask you anything. What happens up here is between you and God. Okay? What we're going to do is sing the song, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart." And as we sing, those of you who need to come, come and settle it with God.